This is Radio Superior 1944, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1944. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now into the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes, station KUWS. Jack McKenna reminding you to keep it under your Stetson. It's 6 p.m. Standard Wartime, Wednesday, August 23rd, 1944. Lou Martin is standing by with the big news from Paris. Museum curator Gerald Stowe is in with his latest really old thing, and we've got the best swing music anywhere, folks.
Latest really old thing?
Well, you know what I mean. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Superior State Teachers College, which advises you to prepare now for post-war demands. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The first Allied capital is liberated. The French people have freed Paris. We begin our World Shortwave Radio report from France.
This is the Supreme Allied Expeditionary Force, Max Jordan, reporting. Paris shook loose the shackles of 4 years of enemy bondage today and stood free once more. Tens of thousands of armed and unarmed Frenchmen liberated themselves by sweeping the Nazis from the city streets while American troops drew up to the capital. A special communique from General Charles de Gaulle's headquarters in London announced the liberation. It came after 4 days of street fighting, but before the Allied troops had entered the City of Light. This recalls Bastille Day when mobs of Parisians had struck an historic blow for liberty. The fight was led by General Jacques Leclerc and 50,000 organized members of the French Resistance. They were joined enthusiastically by hundreds of thousands of other citizens who used whatever they could find as a weapon. The French have taken over all public buildings and captured Vichy officials who have not yet fled. 4 years and 74 days ago on June 14, 1940, Hitler's troops flooded into the City of Light. General Eisenhower's headquarters in London had no confirmation of the liberation of Paris, but that could be because his own troops had not yet entered the city. Meanwhile, the flight of the battered German 7th Army across the Seine River has all the appearance of a rout. On the left of the Allied line, British and Canadian troops have raced forward 15 miles, pushing the Germans against the fire of Yank troops. A third dramatic development came as another American armored column drove halfway across France and plunged past the ancient town of Sens. This is just 160 miles from the border of the Third Reich. In France, this is Max Jordan with the Allied Expeditionary Force calling London. Come in, Great Britain.
This is London calling, Webb Miller, your correspondent. The third invasion of France is underway. This time it's near Bordeaux in southwestern France. The landing began last night under cover of Navy and aerial bombardment. This report was cabled from the Spanish frontier by Associate Press correspondent Charles Foltz, chief of the Madrid Bureau. Foltz crossed into the southern France after Germans abandoned their border posts. It's a coordinated attack with French and American forces closing in on the harbor city of Bordeaux. There is no confirmation of this landing by Supreme Allied Headquarters here in London. In London, this is Webb Miller calling Italy. Come in, Rome.
This is Rome. Noran Norgard reporting. In this historic day in the Battle of France, Allied forces have taken the second city of France, Marseille. Most of the great port city has fallen without resistance, although small pockets need to be ferreted out. In a spectacular surprise move, Major General Alexander Patch's 7th Army spearhead first captured Grenoble, then Marseille. In a sort of blitzkrieg in reverse, American armored and motorized infantry plunged into Grenoble, a hotbed of French resistance. The French underground is reported to have played an effective role in liberating both cities. It now appears General Patch will move to join with the newly opened Third Front near Bordeaux, joining hands much sooner than originally thought possible. Lying in the French Alps, Grenoble is a city of 100,000 people. History buffs will note that Allied forces followed the same route as Napoleon through the Alps to Grenoble. In Rome, this is Nolan Norgard calling the AEF in France. Come in, Stan Turner.
This is the Allied Expeditionary Force somewhere in France. Stan Turner reporting. The liberation of Paris places the Allies in command of a vast network of roads, rivers, canals, airports, and rail lines. Capturing these main lines will surely speed the liberation of France. Paris is the hub of the nation's rail system. That is now denied to a scattering, retreating Nazi force. I can state on unimpeachable authority that the Battle of France is suddenly nearing its end. After bogging down in hedgerow country, slogging through muddy fields after that, today's climactic military strokes will carry Allied forces to the border of the Reich itself. Today, American forces are just a three-hour ride by jeep from Germany. The dash of southern Allied forces to Grenoble, 140 air miles from the beaches of the Mediterranean and to Sens, largely cuts off escape routes of the Nazis in southern France. The Nazis' only hope is to exit into northern Italy. Offensive-minded generals of Supreme Commander Dwight D. Eisenhower are sure to exploit this situation for a quick entry into Paris. We are told that French General Charles de Gaulle will arrive in Paris tomorrow or Friday. In France, this is Stan Turner. Calling Moscow, come in Eddie Gilmore.
This is Soviet Russia. Eddie Gilmore here. A new Red Army offensive today smashed 150 miles forward toward Bucharest. It is an offensive that could knock Romania out of the war and break Hitler's grip on the Balkans. Advancing over the bodies of 25,000 slain German soldiers following three horrendous days of battle, Red Army groups drove to within 50 miles of the mouth of the Danube. German shock troops tried to stiffen the resolve of the Romanian troops, but to no avail in the face of Russian tanks. In northern Poland, the Red Army is outflanking Nazi defenses around Warsaw. This maneuver is splitting German forces in what is expected to be an attack on the Polish capital in the coming days or weeks. Other dispatches say Soviet forces have reached the beaches of the Latvian capital of Riga, the largest city among the Baltic states. In Moscow, this is Eddie Gilmore.
South England suffered its heaviest barrage of flying bombs at dawn today. A number of deaths and injuries were reported as bombs struck residential areas. Allied troops continued to push toward Pas-de-Calais, beyond the Seine, where V-1 rocket platforms are launching these attacks. Interned Japanese Americans are asking to return to their homes on the West Coast. Judge J.F. O'Connor appears to be in sympathy with the request. Western Defense Commander General Charles Bonesteel was ordered by Judge O'Connor to show cause why loyal Japanese Americans should not be allowed to return to the Pacific Coast. Backed by the American Civil Liberties Union, honorably discharged war veteran Matsuru Baba of Reno, Nevada, and Mrs. Shiramatsu of Poston, Arizona, are challenging the constitutionality of the forced relocation. Mrs. Shiramatsu's husband was killed fighting in Italy. Thousands of Japanese Americans were relocated in the first months of 1942 after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:09 Central War Time. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Thank you, Lou. Indeed, I do. Did you know that Superior State Teachers College is accredited by North Central Association of Colleges and Secondary Schools and American Association of Teachers Colleges? Oh, yes. World War II veterans, pay attention, please. This college is on the approved list for veterans with education benefits by the government. Prepare now for post-war demands. Special features, broad fields of study, teaching and pre-professional courses. Campus Laboratory School is there, with the cultural, social, and athletic opportunities. Advantages offered are high academic standards, a splendid modern plant, moderate expenses. So send to Superior State Teachers College for a catalog. But do it now, or soon, because the fall semester opens September 11th. Lou?
The list of men killed in action continues to grow as the fighting in Europe escalates. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the latest toll of local boys.
The dreaded War Department telegram came today to Mr. and Mrs. Oscar Covett of 501 Tower Avenue. Second Lieutenant Sherman Covett had been killed in England. Those of us in the news business knew Sherman. He was a reporter and photographer for the Evening Telegram before going into the service. Mr. and Mrs. John McKeag of Hewitt Avenue were notified today that their son is missing after flying a combat mission over Albania. 24-year-old Sergeant Patrick McKeag was a radio operator and aerial gunner. He graduated from St. Francis School and East High School and was at Superior State Teachers College when he enlisted in 1942. Mr. and Mrs. Gus Simonson of St. Clair Street in Ashland have been told that their son has been seriously wounded fighting in France. The 19-year-old Private William Simonson enlisted in 1943, trained at Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri, and was shipped overseas in April. Private Simonson was part of the Battle of Normandy and was wounded July 31st. Sergeant Lloyd Skusted of Superior has been wounded, also fighting in France. The son of Mr. and Mrs. Ole Skusted of North 7th Street is with the infantry and was wounded August 8th. That's today's roll call, Lou.
Thanks, Mike. Our thoughts are with the families of these men. America's ace of aces, Major Richard Vaughn, left his family home in Poplar today. He's headed back to the Pacific for more action. Major Vaughn spent his leave at the family farm and also attended gunnery school in Texas. The Army Air Corps says that Major Vaughn will be sent to a base overseas. He will teach other pilots new shooting techniques learned in Texas. Major Vaughn has 28 kills, the most of any of America's pilots. The teacher shortage is less severe this coming school year. Acting Superior School Superintendent Vernon Van Patten says that only two teaching positions remain unfilled. Van Patten says one veteran will return to teaching this fall. Michael Verich will teach the 8th grade at the Erickson School. Mr. Verich was wounded while in the Navy during the North African campaign. And finally, Jack and good listeners, the USS Kenosha will be launched from the Walter Butler shipyards on Friday. A band of Odena Indians from Ashland County will entertain with tribal dances and songs led by Chief Starr. A small Indian village will be erected near the launching site by Indians of the Bad River tribe. In addition, the Butler Shipyard Band will play When Irish Eyes Are Smiling. Jack?
Chief Starr and Irish Eyes Are Smiling? That's a different combination.
I kind of have to agree with you there.
Lou Martin, folks, the newsman with the smilingest eyes anywhere.
You've run out of clever newsman things to call me.
It's hard work being clever, you know. You just have to report the facts. I have to be pithy. What happens when I'm all pithed out?
Just be yourself. You're a bottomless pith.
Ooh. Let's check our forecast for this Wednesday, August 23rd, 1944, friends. Our wonderful summer weather continues here at the head of the lakes. Fair skies tonight and tomorrow, with a low tonight of 50 degrees and a high tomorrow of 76. Hey, let's play something for our newly freed allies in Paris. This is Edith Piaf and La Vie en Rose on the Martin and McKenna Pithy or Not. Here we come, Joe.
Des yeux qui font baisser les miens, un rire qui se perd sur sa bouche, voilà le portrait sans retouche de l'homme auquel j'appartiens. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en il est entré dans mon cœur une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause. C'est lui pour moi, moi pour lui dans la vie. Il me l'a dit, m'a juré pour la vie. Dès que je l'aperçois, alors je sens dans moi
déni d'amour à plus finir. Un grand bonheur qui prend sa place. Des ennuis, des chagrins s'effacent. Heureux, heureux, sans mourir. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas. Je vois la vie en rose. Il me dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les jours. Et ça me fait quelque chose. Par de bonheur dont je connais la cause. C'est toi pour moi, moi pour toi dans la vie. Tu me l'as dit, pas juré pour la vie. Dès que je t'appelle toi, alors je sens dans moi.
Edith Piaf and L'Enfant Rose on station KUWS. Take advantage of training offered at Superior Vocational School, friends. Located at Central High School, you can learn auto mechanics, electricity, machine shop, and welding. Women, learn stenography, secretarial and bookkeeping, office machine operation. Superior Vocational School also offers classes in cooking, home furnishing, and child care. Now here's the best part. Tuition is free. I said free. The only requirement is that you must be at least 16 years old to attend and register for the fall term on September 6th at the school auditorium at Belknap and Fisher in Superior. Well, let's listen now to the great Bunny Berrigan, the man of the trumpet and voice. This is Frankie and Johnny on the Martin and McKenna Show. Thank you. Bunny Berrigan, his trumpet and orchestra, and Frankie and Johnny on station KUWS. In case you want to know who played that wonderful clarinet, that was Maddie Matlock. This message is for you gals. You can serve your country by enrolling at the College of St. Scholastica in Duluth. This all-girls college has excellent programs in nursing, teaching, social work, business, librarianship, and home economics. Consider immediate victory needs and long-range defense values when you go to the College of St. Scholastica. They have a 160-acre campus, a standard gym, and bowling alley, too. Freshman registration is September 14th.
Sounds like that place is right up your alley, McCorkle. All gal school.
Let me introduce Douglas County Draft Board Chairman, Colonel Joe Raffaele.
Hey, I'd like it there. Nice scenery, if you know what I mean.
He'd have a good shot at getting a date at school dances. Hey, what brings you here, Colonel?
I'd just like to say congrats to all those Frenchies over there. Liberating gay Paris. Wow. Huh. Boy, I'd like to be in that town tonight.
You said Paris instead of Paris.
Well, yeah, I picked up the language when I was over there in WW1. I mean, it's not tough.
Parlez-vous français?
Yeah. Oui.
Well, say something in French.
About the only thing I remember is to swear in French.
Let's forget the whole idea.
Oui.
Stick around, Colonel. We've got the museum curator up next to talk about Red Cloud and his tomahawk. You like tomahawks.
Oui.
Oh, boy. The men's room is down the hall. Old joke. Here's one from the Frenchman himself, Maurice Chevalier. And you brought a new kind of love to me on the Martin and McKenna Show. Oui.
The flower, never will I meet one sweeter than you. Would you turn away or could you really don't care if I ever dare to say I love you? If the nightingales could sing like you, they'd sing much sweeter than they do. Oh, you've brought a new kind of love to me. If the Sandman brought me dreams of you, I'd want to sleep my whole life through. Oh, you've brought a new kind of love to me. I know that you're the queen and I'm the slave, and yet you will understand that underneath it all, you're a maid and I am only a man. I would work and slave the whole day through if I could hurry home to you, for you brought a new kind of love to me. If the nightingale could sing like you, they sing much sweeter than they do. You brought a new kind of love to me. If the Sandman brought me dreams of you, I'd want to sleep my whole life through. You brought a new kind of love to me. Oh, I know that you're the queen and I'm the slave. And yes, you will understand that underneath it all, you're a maid, and I'm only a man. I would work and slave the whole day through if I could hurry home to you, for you brought a new kind of love to me.
Ba-bum, ba-bum. Marie Chevalier, and you brought a new kind of love on station KUWS for the Allied Liberation of Paris today.
Let me introduce Douglas County Museum Curator Gerald Stowe. Good evening, sir.
Yes, good evening to you, too.
It's that funny-talking, really pale guy.
Yes, greetings, Colonel. How clever of you to know how to speak the French tongue.
The French what?
Language, the French language. Mr. Stowe, you have a tremendous gift that arrived in June. Please tell us about it.
Better be in your own tongue, or Raffi might get confused.
Certainly, yes, by all means. As a linguist, I do my best. Well, Mr. Martin and Mr. McKenna, I just completed the Chief Red Cloud display. Oh, yes, it is wonderful. It arrived from the Smithsonian Institution in Washington. It is a magnificent gift from Mrs. Lillian Deer LeClaire, the daughter of former Superiorite R.B. Deer. Mrs. LeClaire lent the exhibit to the Smithsonian in the 1920s, but now has decided to give it to us. Yes, such a collection. Yes, this is the war gear of the dreaded Red Cloud, great Sioux Indian warrior who held the U.S. Army at bay for years. It was given to Mr. Deer by Mrs. Red Cloud a number of years ago.
Red Cloud's weapons? Well, I'd like to see that. What do you got?
If you don't mind, Colonel, I'm doing the interview here. What items do you have?
Yes, fantastic artifacts. There's the horn wand used in ceremonial dances and his green beaded moccasins. Then there's Mrs. Red Cloud's beaded buckskin dress.
The weapons, man. Tell us about the weapons.
Yes, I'm getting to that part. We have Red Cloud's hickory bow, his quiver, and his arrows. But our prized possession is Red Cloud's tomahawk pipe, which was his favorite. He liked to hold it high after taking a white man's scalp. Yes, it was his rebellious way, and it worked, too. None of us wanted to cross paths with him or his warriors. He was fearsome, yes.
None of us? Didn't Red Cloud do his fighting way back before any of us were supposed to be born?
Sure, just hop right in and do the interview. Don't let the newsman have a word in edgewise.
Yes, Chief Red Cloud's uprising began in the 1850s and lasted through the 1860s, yes. He wouldn't listen to the white men. Even after the Treaty of Laramie in 1858, we were sure that would settle things. But it didn't. Yes, he was defiant, a true warrior. He was called Mahapialuta, but we used Red Cloud.
Mahapialuta isn't as easy to say.
Mahapialuta.
That's what I said.
If you don't mind.
Yes, more than once, the United States Army had to yield to Red Cloud. For a decade, Indian fighting was called Red Cloud's War, yes.
Thank you, Douglas Museum curator Gerald Stowe.
A real pale face.
Jack, if you please.
Right, Lou. On with the music, friends. Here's Benny Goodman and his orchestra, live from Carnegie Hall in 1938. This is Sing, Sing, Sing on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank you.
Benny Goodman and Same. No relation to the prison folks. On station KUWS. Friends, Northland College in Ashland starts its new semester next month. The people there remind you that tomorrow will need educated people to help rebuild the world, as surely as today's needs bombs to blow it apart.
Catchy slogan. I like it.
Enroll at Northland College, a liberal arts college with a practical slant. So, Colonel, what school did you go to?
A school of hard knocks. Wasn't much, but we had some great frat parties. So, Mr. Stove, where'd you learn about history? Guys like Chief Red Cloud.
Yes, let's just say life experience. Mostly night school.
Right. How about you, McHugh-Ball? You must have given your teachers fits.
As a matter of fact, I like to say I was self-taught.
Yes, so that makes you teacher's pet.
You're a strange fellow. You make frickin' frack here seem normal.
We appreciate that.
That's almost a compliment from the colonel. Stay tuned, folks, for a great evening of mystery with Sherlock Holmes, followed by Charlie Chan.
Yes, my favorite. I like to turn out the lights and listen. Want to join me, Colonel?
Can I play with the tomahawk?
We'll be back same time, same place, on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, and I don't keep myself after school. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna, reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1944, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, John Munsell, Tom Martinson, Joel Anderson, Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1944 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.